Okay. Have you ever reached a point where you're looking, you're watching stuff that's going on television or the news, and you go, Lord, this just isn't fair. Okay. You look at the celebrities. You look at all these celebrities. You look at these football players. You look at these basketball players. And you notice their life, and you're like, Lord, they get all the breaks. They get all the breaks. And here's a group of people over here that's dedicated to you. They want to serve you. They are doing their best to live a life that's pleasing to you, yet they're struggling. They have trouble paying their bills. Everything that happens seems to happen to them. And Lord, those people over there, they don't like you. They don't believe in you. They don't want to live a life that's pleasing you. And Lord, it just seems like they get everything. Lord, it doesn't seem fair. Well, Psalm 73 is a psalm written by Asaph. Now, Asaph, the penman of the psalm, he's going to share his heart in the psalm. And you know what? Asaph is looking at the world, and he says, Lord, it's just not fair. Lord, what I'm looking at, I'm looking at the wicked, and it just doesn't seem fair. And Asaph almost backslides. He almost steps aside from wanting to follow the Lord because he is looking at the stuff that the wicked have. Look at verse 1 of Psalm 73. Truly God is good to Israel, even to such that are of a clean heart. But as for me, you know, we find ourselves going, you know, yeah, we know the Lord's good. The Lord blesses his children. But when we come to making it personal, but as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped, for I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. He said, I was envying the foolish. He said, I saw their prosperity. I saw the stuff that they have. And he said, as I looked at the prosperity of the wicked, he says, I almost came to the conclusion that God just wasn't fair. God just isn't being fair with the way he's dealing with the wicked and the way he deals with his children. Here's what Asaph observed. Number one, the wicked seem to get away with their sins. Verse 4, for there are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. He said, you know, they seem to get away with their sin. Lord, you tell us there are certain that thing is really sensitive. He says, you know, Lord, there are sins that you make it clear that you are displeased with. They do it all the time, but if I do it, I'm chastened. If I do it, you know, snow version of this, you reach down, slap me upside the head. But they're doing it all the time. They get away with it. Lord, it's not fair. For there are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. The wicked do not have to face many of the troubles and the plagues that other men face. Look at verse 5. He says, they are not in trouble as other men. Neither are they plagued like other men. Everything they touch seems to turn to gold. Yeah. Wouldn't you like to be the one that someone comes up and asks, would you like to do a car commercial? Yeah, you get an NBA star, NFL star, they're already making millions of dollars. And then someone goes, I'll pay you another couple of million bucks just to make a commercial for us. It's like, why? I'll make a commercial for a whole lot less than that. Y'all remember Dan Marino, the quarterback for the Dolphins? The place that he bought a house was in the Weston area, north of Miami a little bit. When he got the house, it was one of the new ritzy areas. You know what he got his house for? $1. He got to buy that house for $1 because the people who were developing it wanted to use his name. Come Live by Dan Marino. And so he gets to buy the house for a buck. Now, he could have afforded to pay full price for it, but they give it to him for one lousy buck. You know, everybody else has to pay full price. It's like, well, that don't seem fair. Yeah. The wicked don't have any of the troubles that other people have. You know, they're not playing like other men. And it seems like everything they touch, everything goes well for them. Not that I'm calling Dan Marino wicked. I was just giving you an example there. Number three, the wicked, despite their pride and violence, seem healthy, well-fed, and in need of nothing. Look at verse 6. Therefore, pride compasseth them about as a chain. They are wrapped up in pride. Now, all of a sudden, I get a mental picture of a certain basketball player who calls himself king. Yeah. And thinks that he ought to dictate to the world everything, politics and the whole bit. You know, his pride is unbelievable. You know, and you think, okay, Lord, you know, you said pride is wrong, and that pride goeth before a fall. And Lord, if I'm prideful, you discipline me. But here you get the wicked over here, and there's so much pride that just seems to wrap around them as a chain. Violence covereth them as a garment. Their eyes, those verse 7, their eyes stand out with fatness. They have more than heart could wish. You know, they're doing everything that God says don't do, but they seem healthy. They're well fed. They don't want anything. They don't have a need for anything. They got the biggest house, the fastest cars, the whole bit. Lord, it just doesn't seem fair. And Asaph is struggling with this. Number four, the wicked speak wickedly, loftily. They speak blasphemy, and they do so openly. Verse 8, they are corrupt and speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak loftily. They set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongue walketh through the earth. Therefore, his people return hither, and waters of a full cup are wrung out to them. He said, you know, Lord, they blaspheme your name. They don't believe in you. They're not worried about what you think, whether you think it's right or wrong, or what you call sin. They could care less. They are blasphemous. Yet it looks like the Lord just rings out his blessings into their cup. Their cup is running over with stuff. And it, you know, Asaph is struggling with this. Verse 11. And they say, how doth God know? And is there knowledge in the Most High? Yeah, they openly mock the Lord. And we see that right now. We see a whole lot of that going on all over our nation. They openly mock God. Some of these protesters, but a lot of these celebrities, these people we call celebrities, you know, they openly mock the Lord. They know that what they're doing is wrong. They really just don't care. They openly mock God, yet they prosper and they increase in riches. Behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. It seems like everything they do, they just get wealthier. Now, it's very difficult to see people who are godless and evil, and they're living this pagan life. And it's difficult sometimes to see them prosper because we think, well, they got away with it. They got away with their evil. But boy, let me do one thing wrong, you know, and I'm going to be chastened. But, you know, if we look at that, it begins to challenge our faith. It can begin to cause us to wonder, are we doing the right thing? And so Asaph here was confused at what he saw. But it goes further than that. It's one thing to see the wicked of the world prosper, but to see the righteous suffer at the same time, that can really begin to shake your faith, and that's exactly what Asaph was going through. Verse 13, "Verily I have cleansed my heart in vain and washed my heart in innocency." He said, you know, he's beginning to say, have I wasted my time? Have I wasted my life trying to do what's right? It looks like they're getting all the blessings and I'm getting all the heartaches. He said, had I wasted my time trying to do what's right? Verse 14, "For all the day long have I been plagued and chastened every morning." He says, just one thing after another that comes into my life. One struggle after another struggle after another struggle. They're out there partying, and I'm struggling. Did I make a mistake somewhere? Now, Asaph here is going to admit he is concerned about voicing this. Look at verse 15. "If I say, I will speak thus, behold, I should offend against the generation of thy children." Yeah, he says, I don't speak this out loud. And, you know, when I was reading over that scripture, I said, you know, that may be a lesson to some parents. Because a lot of times, parents, we like to verbalize things. We like to say things like, well, you know, God just wasn't being fair. Oh, yeah. And when we begin to backslide, when we begin to let our faith be shaken a little bit, and we open our mouth and our kids hear us, we're hurting their faith also. You know, we hurt them because we verbalize the struggle that we're going through. And so he said, you know, I would open my mouth. I won't talk about it because I'm afraid that someone else will hear, behold, I should offend against the generation of thy children. Verse 16, when I thought to know this, it was too painful for me. And so he says, you know, the dilemma that he's going through, the perspective that he has, he's looking at the wicked and their prosperity, and he's looking at the righteous and the struggles that they're going through. He says, I don't verbalize it. He said, but when I think of it, it is so painful. Have we ever been there? Have we ever been to the point where we're looking at the wicked and go, Lord, you know, it just doesn't seem fair. It just doesn't seem right. Asaph brings us to that point in his struggle. But Asaph then, in the second half of this chapter, he begins to have his perspective corrected. He begins to get an eternal perspective on what he is seeing when he goes into the sanctuary. Verse 17, "Until I went into the sanctuary of God, then understood I therein." The first thing he says, when I went into the sanctuary, and what happens though for a lot of Christians, when we get our focus on the prosperity of the world, we get discouraged. And what do? We start backing off of going to church. We become less faithful because we Lord, this just ain't fair. This isn't fair. I'm not going to church Sunday morning. Oh, that's going to do you a whole lot of good. Yeah, but, you know, Asaph says, I went to the sanctuary. And when I got to the sanctuary, when I started, you know, when I was where I was supposed to be in my church attendance, then I began to get God's perspective on what's going on. And God shows Asaph that the supposed outward prosperity of the wicked is really just a facade. They face judgments and consequences that we do not readily see. Verse 18, "Surely thou didst set them in slippery places. Thou castest them down into destruction." How many times have we looked at the world looked at the wicked, looked at a celebrity or whatever, and they got it all. They got the best house, they got the fastest cars, they got all the publicity. But then the next thing that you hear about them is they've lost everything. They've lost everything. What family they had is gone. They've lost their money. They've lost their reputation. They've lost it all. Just like that. It's just slippery. He says, surely thou didst set them in slippery places. You ever been on a slippery spot? You think, well, my feet are grounded, and I'll, I have done that a few times in my life. Yeah, you think you got your feet grounded, and all of a sudden you slip, and just like that, everything changes. God often delays his judgments because of his great patience and his mercy. God is going to delay his judgment on them because he is patient. He is merciful. But as Asaph points out, God can change their situation in a moment's time if he chooses to do so. Verse 19, how are they brought into desolation? As in a moment. They are utterly consumed with terrors. As a dream when one awaketh, so, O Lord, when thou awakest, thou shalt despise their image. How many times have we heard of the wicked? We know of celebrities. And if you stop and think, names begin to come to mind. We thought they had it all. We thought they were living great. We thought they had everything going for them. And the next thing you hear, they committed suicide. They took their own life. The next thing you hear is they've had a drug overdose. The next thing you hear is absolute disaster in their life. I thought they had it made. When we looked, how many of you remember Deion Sanders? Y'all remember Deion Sanders? Deion Sanders, he made a profession of faith. Now, in some interviews that I saw, he said, look, he said, I had everything the world had to offer. I had all the money. I had all the women. I had all the cars. I had all the house. I had everything. And he said, at one point, his house was full of people. They were drinking his booze, and they were taking his dope. And he said, I stood back and looked, and he thought, I am absolutely miserable. He said, here are all these people, and I don't even really like them. He said, here's all these people, and I've got everything that the world tells me I'm supposed to have to be happy. I've got it all, and yet I am absolutely miserable. And he goes on to tell in his book he wrote, he talks about how another teammate led him to the Lord. And he said, my perspective changed immediately. Everything that I had been searching for, everything that the world told me that my money could buy, I found in God. I found it in God. Asaph is going to be taught through this that we become envious when we judge the happiness of and blessing of others based on their stuff. See, Asaph was looking at the wicked, and he assumed that because they had everything, they had to be happy. I'm going through troubles over here, Lord. I'm going through some struggles. You know, I'm going through this. They're happy. They've got it all. They don't have to worry about the light bill. Yeah, they don't have to worry about the mortgage payment. Yeah, they can lock themselves up for COVID for 6 months. They don't even have to work. They got all kinds of money. Yeah, I have to work, Lord. And so when we look at the wicked and we judge their happiness based on what they have, that's where we make our error. A man can have many riches, yet he can never have inner peace. He can never have inner joy. He can never have the contentment that God gives. And Asaph becomes pricked in his heart when he finally realized that he had the one thing that the wicked did not have. Asaph had God. And with God and God's presence, God's support, His guidance, and God one day promises a home with Him in heaven. The wicked have none of these. Look at verse 21. Thus my heart was grieved. He's getting the right perspective now. Thus my heart was grieved, and I was pricked in my reins. So foolish was I, and ignorant. I was as a beast before thee. Nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou hast holden me by my right hand. Isn't that a beautiful mental picture? You ever seen a, maybe one of your kids? Or you ever seen a little fella, a little girl, with their hand up holding on to daddy's hand? As long as that hand's in daddy's hand, ain't nothing going to mess with them. Ain't nothing going to hurt them because daddy's got them by the hand. That's what Asaph says here. Beautiful picture. Yeah, beautiful picture of God walking along beside us, holding our hand. Verse 24, thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. And he finally gets the right perspective, because he had been looking at the world, he'd been looking at the wicked, and he was looking at their stuff, when he should have been looking at the blessings that come from God. Are there troubles? Yeah. But God's holding your hand, and you're going to walk through them. Are there going to be some issues? Are there going to be problems that you're going to face? Yes. But God's going to direct you through. God's going to help you through those. When their problems come, I hope that fast car helps. When their problems come, that big old house is going to be real empty. When their problem comes, they're on their own. Asaph says, I have the Lord. He will direct me through my problems. Asaph finally saw things from an eternal standpoint, instead of a temporary one. He was looking at the temporary happiness, if you want to call it happiness, of the wicked. Now he's looking at an eternal standpoint. There are eternal rewards for the righteous, and there is eternal judgment for the wicked. You've heard pastors say, for a lost person, their best day on earth is their best day ever. Because unless they turn to God, unless they get their heart right with God, unless they accept Christ as Savior, they have an eternal judgment waiting for them. Verse 27, for lo, they that are far from thee shall perish. Thou hast destroyed all them that go whoring from thee. But it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all thy works. See, the problem for Asaph, and the problem that a lot of Christians sometimes face today, is that he looked at the world, he looked at the wickedness, and he looked at their stuff. And he allowed that to shake his faith a little bit. He took his perspective and he put it on the world, he put it on the wicked, he put it on the temporary, when he should have put his focus on Jesus Christ. Hebrews 12, if you want to look over there real quick. Hebrews 12, verse 1 and 2 says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus. Our focus needs to be on Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Our focus in life needs to be Jesus Christ. We don't need to be looking at the wicked. We don't need to be looking at the world. We don't need to be looking at what they got. And they better enjoy it. Well, they got it. because what they've got coming down the road is not good. What they've got waiting on them is an eternity of judgment. We need to keep our focus on Jesus Christ, knowing that God one day will balance the scales. Hebrews 9:27, and it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. Matthew 25:46 says, and these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous unto life eternal. We look at the wicked, we look at the world, and foolishly we envy them. I wish I had what they have. But one moment into eternity, they will wish they had what we had. They will wish, if I only had what they have, which is Jesus Christ, and an eternity with our Father in heaven. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we do thank you so much for this day, Lord. We thank you for the opportunity to look into your word, Lord. We ask that you would just help us to keep our focus on you, Lord. Help us to not get sidetracked, not get distracted by what we see as the prosperity of the world, Lord. Help us to not spend our time wishing that we could be, that we had what the world has. And Lord, we just ask that you would help us to keep our perspective on you, help us to keep our eyes on you, and help us to have a desire to serve you until the day that we get to stand before you. For it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. Got 10 minutes early.